The Bible says, and excuse me, book of Luke 15, I do apologize, 15:11. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's bow our heads before Holy God. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to bow before thee, Lord, once again. We realize, Lord, that we are nothing, and truly, Lord, thou art everything. And Lord, I pray that you deliver us, God, tonight from any vain glory. And you'd help us, God, to get our mind and our affections set upon thee. Lord, may we find favor in the sight of yourself and men tonight, God, that we may preach the Word of God to see, Lord, the full power of thy Word. Lord, I pray that you'd so arrange the atmosphere that, God, your will, Lord, would be done. I pray that you'd remove, Lord, that of any man tonight. And I pray the power of God, Lord, would be real to us tonight. Lord, we ask you, God, tonight, we cannot settle for anything less. We cannot, Lord, put up with anything less. We must, Lord, pray and seek thy face, Lord, that we see thee in the power of thy might. I pray for those of me tonight that's never been saved. You'd be with them. And I pray that you'd help us to get our minds and affections on you. Touch our lips of clay. Give us travel of mind and travel of heart to bring remembrance things we studied, prayed, meditated over. I pray that these things are being brought to our remembrance. Lord, deliver us of our infirmities just for a little while now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. I want to look at this scripture tonight, try to bring the message that the Lord has laid on the heart. I want to say I appreciate everyone being here tonight. Appreciate all the visitors being here and others and folks driving in from the church there where the Lord so graciously allowed us to pastor. And I appreciate them coming and following us over. That means a lot to me, and I appreciate that. We're looking at this scripture tonight. I know this is a very familiar passage of scripture, and no doubt you've probably heard hundreds of messages from this passage of Scripture, but I feel like the Lord has given us this thought tonight, and I feel this is the will of the Lord for the service tonight, trusting God's will would be done. But I'll look at this Scripture and try to bring a few things out tonight, if the Lord would be our helper, out of this passage of Scripture. Just a few things by the way of introduction here. We look at these passages of Scripture, if you back up in chapter number 15, and verses 3 down through verse number 7, you find the parable there as the Bible gives us of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And if you look at these, there's some things that you stand out here. I said, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in verse number 4 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Now, as we look at this scripture, said, what man of you? It's pretty general there. Then in chapter, in the same verses, verse number 8, he said, either what woman having, pretty general there. But as we come down to the verses 11 down through the latter part of the scripture, he says here, a certain man had two sons. Now, me personally, I don't believe this was a parable right here. I believe this is literal, because if you study that word certain there, it means without a doubt that which cannot be denied. And I believe there was a certain man that had two sons, in this scripture here, and I believe this is a literal story. So this is not something, as we would say, parable is a fictitious story to bring across a great truth. And that's what a parable is there. But I believe this is a truth that we can glean from and learn from. But as you look at these, there are three things in the scripture. You see the parable of the lost sheep, lost naturally. Then you see the one there is lost accidentally about the coin. Then one was lost intentionally. One out of every 100 was lost. One out of every 10 was lost. Then one out of every 2 was lost. One was lost in danger, the sheep. One was lost in darkness, in the coins. Then one was lost by distance. And you find those scriptures. I preached a message the other day. I preached several messages from this. But as I look at this, three things a father could have done when his son, went to a far country. And I entitled the message on what do you do when your home is broken in two. And there's three things a father could have done. He could have went with him to the far country. But he didn't do that. He could have gotten bitter at him like the other son did, but he didn't do that. But thank God he patiently waited at home for the son. Why did he do that? I believe he did that because he's clinging to the promise in Proverbs 22:6 to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And I believe that's a biblical promise. We're going to get on down to our text today and look at this passage of Scripture. And verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living." Now, as I look at this scripture, I find that this prodigal here, as he begins to look at some things and desire some things, that these were the very outset of what was going on in his heart. And as I see this, he says here, "Give me." And I wrote down, "Give me" is a sure sign of departure. And as we look at the son, it was no longer what the son could give to the home or give to the father, but it was what the father could give to him. You know, I feel like the Lord has led me tonight to preach to the church and use this tonight as the church. And then we refer to this prodigal son, we're referring to as the church. But as a human being, but as we look at this, he says, "Give me." This is a sure sign of his departure. He was wanting something for himself. And it's not "give me," but it's "what can I give?" And as look at this as a church, that's the way many times our mentality is "what can this church give me?" But that shouldn't be our mentality. It should be "what can we give to this church?" Now understand that this prodigal, when he become to the place that he desired for him to be given to, is it wasn't long after that he began to depart. And you see people sometimes, "Well, I'm not getting fed." You see, that is an attitude of "what can you give me" instead of "what can I give you?" If we had some churches and people that would live with the mentality of mind that "what can I do for God? What can I do for my pastor? What can I do for my church?" Instead of "what can my church do for me?" things would be different. It's not what your church can do for you, but it's what you can do for your church. But as we look at this scripture, I believe that's one of the foremost things that happened in the prodigal's life. He began to desire for himself and what would be best for himself. Then the second thing I see here, the Bible says in this verse, "And the father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me, and he divided unto them his living." Now as we look at this, his living was divided among the two boys. And if you look at that word "living" there, it literally means in the Strong's, it means his life. And the father took his life and divided it, what he had worked for, and no doubt thinking about heritage that had been handed down to him through these years. And he began to divide that which had been handed down to him. He had taken and did something with, and now he was handing it down to his son. As we see in this passage of Scripture, he divided unto them his living. The younger son had nothing, but now he has something. You must understand that in this Scripture. This younger son was living under the father's roof, was participating with the father's goods. But you see in this Scripture that when the father divided his living with him, he gave his son something. His son had something that was his.
He had some power. He had part of his father's heritage. He had part of what had been handed down from generation to generation to generation. Amen. And as I say to you tonight, that we as a church, we can say tonight that we have been divided the living of the Father. We have been giving something. We have been entrusted with something that has been handed down from generation to generation to generation. Amen. And I'm afraid as this prodigal son, as he began to depart to the far country, he was not worried about the heritage of his own family. He was not worried about the heritage of his own children. All he was worried about was what was good for him, what felt good that day, what was most prosperous for him. He was not worried about giving to his children that he'd have in the future. Now I'm afraid as you and I, as God's people anymore, I believe we've forgotten about this next generation that's coming on. We've forgotten about these little children running around here that are falling after mom and daddy and falling after the preacher. They'll worship like us. They'll serve God like us. And they'll be faithful to God like us. Amen? But he forgot about that heritage that he was forsaken. But the younger son had nothing, but now he had something. So may I remind us, we didn't have nothing, but now we've got something, and that is Jesus. Amen? Then I see here, he is the Father's offspring. That which he possesses, it identifies him with the Father. Now I want you to hold on and get with me right now. You see, this is where the Lord has given me the message tonight. As we see the Son, he was nothing. He had nothing. He possessed nothing. Amen. But yet when he departed here, the Father gave to him, he divided unto him his living. And so you see, the younger son, as he gathered together, he was gathering what his Father had given him. What he had, everything he could boast of, everything that he had to claim and could brag about, was given to him by the Father. Amen. In other words, he didn't have nothing to brag of himself. The only thing he could brag of is what God had given him. Amen. But I say to you that what he had when he was in this situation here, it identified him with the Father's house. And the belongings that he had, the wealth that he had, whatever the Father gave to him, it identified him with the Father's house. Now, I want to preach on this thought tonight. It's a very familiar thing if you know anything about credit cards and cell phones and bills and checking accounts. I want to preach on this thought tonight on stolen identity. On stolen identity. I believe this prodigal, as he took his journey him to a far country, I believe he went down there with every intention of being a free man, but he ended up being a slave in slavery. I believe that every dime he had to get down to the far country come from the Father. And I believe when he got in that far country and he wasted his substance with righteous living, he was forfeiting. He had his identity stolen by the world and by the things of the flesh and the world and the devil. Amen. I'm telling you something, I believe as we can look at this tonight and draw a parallel between the church of the living God and the things of God, is that we have let things come in and we've let our mentality go to the world, and the identity that God has given us as a child of God, where he said to come ye out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I believe God, amen, that God has given us an identity, amen. We're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, amen? Amen, amen. We have the red royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our heart, amen? I'm telling you something, we are not of this world. Amen, we're going to heaven to be with Him. I'm afraid that we've let the world creep in, and what it's done is stolen our identity with the Father's house, amen? Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I know this is not for everybody, but I believe God put it on my heart, and I'm going to preach it. Amen. But I tell you something right now, we've lost our identity. I tell you right now, I'm glad. I don't want to say proud. It sounds like I've got something to do with it. Amen. But I'm very glad for the saving grace of God. If it weren't for God's grace, you're looking at one young man that wouldn't be here tonight. I'm looking at a crowd that wouldn't be here tonight. Amen.
I'd say the best thing that's ever happened to me, it wasn't to get married, it wasn't to have children, but the very best thing that ever happened to me is the day I got saved by the good grace of God. Amen.
Everything that I have, everything I hope to be, is because of the Father and His goodness and His mercy. He divided unto us His living, which is His life. And thank God, about 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ hung between heaven and hell, and He divided unto us His life. Amen. He give us life. He give us life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, amen. I'm so glad I'm saved by the good grace of God. Saved by His power divine. Saved by a new life sublime. Life now is sweet. Amen. Joy is complete now that I'm saved. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, we ought to be thankful for what God's done in our lives.
I'm afraid the devil, the world and the flesh, is doing everything they can to steal the identity of the child of God and the church of the living God. Took his journey to a far country. I'm going to show you a few things here. He is the Father's offspring. That which he possesses, it identifies him with the Father. Now you think about this, just a reminder, what we are gathering, to take on our journey comes from the Father. Amen. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Everything that you and I have is God's. Amen. It ain't going to hurt you every once in a while. Look down at that old vehicle you gripe and complain about. Say, God, thank you for four wheels. Thank you I'm not having a wall. Amen. Amen. God, thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for the shoes on my feet. Thank you for a good family and children and a wife. Thank you for a good place to come that get apart from this old world. Amen. And worship God and get our mind affections on Him. Amen. 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 You know what Budweiser does, don't you? Budweiser puts you out of your home, puts you out of your marriage, puts you up under a bridge. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus. He'll give you a home back. He'll give you a marriage back. He'll give you a home back. He'll give you everything back. Amen. And much, much more. That's how good God is. Amen. Amen. Why would we want to settle for second best? Why would we want the world to lose our identity? Amen. I'll tell you something, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that clad and glorious day when the sweet Holy Ghost of God came to where I was, knocked on the recesses of my soul. I began to fight about it. Amen. I'm glad I gave up that night and give in. He moved in. Amen. Put a sign up on my heart's door that says, no vacancy. Amen. Amen. I'm not ashamed. This is not an arrogant statement, but I believe everybody ought to know we're Christian. Amen. 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 I like it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved by the good grace of God. But I tell you right now, everything we have is because of God. You know, I get down to place and I say, God, just thank you for letting me take up your space and breathe your air. Amen. Whoa! Man, I can't shout my throat's already hoarse. Won't y'all shout for me for a while? Amen. Thank you, God. For amen. Just letting me take up some space here on planet Earth. Amen. 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 It's good to breathe air, ain't it? Amen. It's good to have eyes to see. And I'm telling you, it's just good to be here tonight and feel the sweet presence of the Holy God of heaven. Amen. We don't want to ever lose our identity that we are a child of God. Hey. Praise God. Don't want to look like the ball players and don't want to look like Hollywood. Don't want to look like that thug crowd. Amen. Amen. I want to be like Jesus that had me to be. Amen. Amen. I want people to know we're different. And this son, he forfeited. He had his identity stolen when he went to that far country. Amen. That's what happened to him. Just like the church. If we go to the far country, we're going to lose our identity. That's why folk don't
things of God anymore. That's why they don't respect the people of God anymore. There's people, amen, that say they go to church, but yet they live like they live down there in the far country. Their identity's been, you say, preacher, that's a bunch of hoopla. Amen. I'm telling you something, God saves a man's soul, He changes that man. Now, I know that's not in this day and hour, but it's still in the Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. Amen. I'm telling you something, a man won't look the same, act the same, dress the same, talk the same, smell the same. He won't do nothing the same. I'm telling you something. I just can't explain it to you. Amen. You'll just have to experience it for yourself. Amen. God will make a change in your life. And I tell you, this prodigal son, he went to the far country. The Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. The first thing he did, the word wasted means lost through negligence. And I'm afraid sometimes we are negligent. We're losing our identity as being a child of God and being the church that He purchased with His own blood. And I appreciate a church that can preach stuff like you said. Amen. But I'm telling you something, he wasted his substance. The substance was what one has. Amen. I believe God's given us all a talent. God's given us all something to use for His glory and His honor. I'm afraid sometimes we waste our substance with righteous living while God has given us a gift, a blessing that God has given us. We waste that. May it remind us that what the prodigal had was because the father gave it to him when he left the house. And if it wasn't for the Father giving him something, he wouldn't have had nothing to waste. Amen. You tell that to some of these tree-hugging granolas. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about preaching a message on some things of sodomite, homosexual, queer, lesbian, whatever you want to call them. Some things that they can be thankful for. Number one, they can be thankful that their forefathers weren't sodomites like them. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. They ought to be thankful. They ought to get down on their knees and thank the God of heaven that their forefathers were not sodomites. Amen. They can't reproduce. They just recruit. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. But I'm telling you something, wasted his substance with righteous living. Living that was morally unrestrained. I believe we need that. The prodigal son, he lost his identity when he went to the far country. He was stolen from him by the subtle devices of the devil, believing that everything would be good in the far country. But the only thing it cost him was his identity with the father's house. Let me show you a few things here. The father's living is now his. Now, I'm going to tell you something about 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And He saved our souls. He took His life and put it in us. And that prodigal, when he left the house of the Father, He gave him his living, his life. Everything that he gave it to his sons. And what that which he possessed, and he could... Now you think about these things. I've thought about this. I'm sure the prodigal's father, he had gotten his living from his father at one time. But he'd been a good steward of it. And he'd been a good soldier of it. And he took it and he'd used it rightly. And he did right by it. And therefore, he had something to give to his sons because he had paid attention to what he was doing. But you see this prodigal here, the father's living is now his. He was entrusted with the father's life. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, God has entrusted us with the truth. The truth, amen. The only thing that will set a man free from the captive clutches of Satan is the Word of God and the life that God has given us. You know, people always say, pray God to give me the right word to say to a man. I believe studying your Bible, if you just tell the main things and tell them what Jesus has done for you, that will be the right thing to do. Amen. But I'm afraid we've got away from what God said in His Word. That identity has been stolen away. Amen. Have you seen those commercials on our televisions where they got an old woman talking like a big brutish man? You've seen on there her identity. They use that to show that her identity's been stolen. I'm afraid that's just about the way it is when we go up somebody or somebody, they go to witness to somebody and they see one thing, but they hear something else of talking. Amen. That identity's been stolen. Amen. They say, I'm a Christian, I go to church. Amen. I'm telling you something, you can tell a Christian by the way they live, because God has made a change in their life. Amen.
Amen. But I see these different things here. Then the second thing is, in this stage of his journey, I thought about this, he had some and he wasted some. Now you think about this, the Bible says here, and he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He was in the process of wasting his substance with riotous living. He just didn't go down to the first beer hole and everything else and waste everything that he had, but he was in the process of wasting his substance with riotous living. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I believe that he had a certain amount of security because he still had some of his living in his pocket, even though he was dabbling in sin and wasting his substance with riotous living. And he says, well, I'm getting away with it. I still have money to go do it the next night. And I believe that's sometimes the way things are. Amen. People think they're getting away with it because of the substance that the Father's blessed him with and give them. Amen. Now, don't let me lose you now. Amen. But I'm telling you something right now. Look at this. In the stage of his journey, he had some and he wasted some. Well, this is working out pretty good. I can live in sin and still get away with it, and I still got this in my pocket, still going to church, and I'm still blessed. I still got something in my pocket. You see what he is doing? He was living off of what the Father had given him. Amen. But if he didn't nurture and take care of what the Father had given him, just like the Bible says here, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now, isn't it amazing? You know, I got to think about it. The Bible says, after he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. It's almost to me, if the prodigal son had so much to give, he was holding the whole country up. And then the Bible says there, after he had spent all, after he had exhausted what he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now, you think about what I'm saying right here. You're talking about a famine in the land. When the church of the living God gets so far away from God that she spends it all, the Bible says, then there arose a mighty famine in the land. You say, what's this famine across our country? What's this with our politicians and political leaders? You say, preacher, what is that? I tell you what it is. Stolen identity. And we're spending it all. We're living on what has been done in the past instead of what needs to be done in the future. We're living off of the messages of Brother Percy Ray. And we're living off the messages of Brother Mays Jackson. And we're living off the messages of other great men of God. But brethren, we need God to do something in our day and hour. Amen. For there arises a mighty famine in the land. He was living off of the past. What the Father had given him and worked for. Without preparation for the... He was living off of the past without preparation for the future.
You see what the prodigal was doing when that father gave him his living and his goods, and when he went to the far country, when he went to the world, when he went to the wash pots of sin, he was living for a certain period of time off of what the father had worked and labored for his whole life. Amen. I'm so afraid, that we're living off of what our forefathers have worked, sweated, bled, and died for in generations and days gone by. And we're wasting their substance with riotous living. Living that was morally unrestrained. If some of those old-timers could get up out of the grave, I'm telling you something, I don't believe most of them would even be able to preach in the day of the earth that we live in. They would not be accepted. Amen. 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 I'm still preaching a Bible. Still preaching a book. Amen. They were living off the past without preparation for the future. Amen. He was living off of his forefathers. What his forefathers had handed down and down and down and down for generations and generations. But he was fixing to drop the bar on his generation. Amen. You can study these scriptures and different things. And I'm telling you something. God help us to realize. Amen. That we step to the forefront and be what God have us to be. Amen.
You can almost feel it when you deal with something like this. Oh, preacher, not me. Not me. Amen. Oh, yes, us. Amen. Where's our children going to go to church in 20 years? Amen. Where are they going to go where you still hear old-time preaching? You say, I don't know all about that. I didn't know all about it either. Did June 24th, 1992, and God saved my soul. And I'm telling you something, I know about it now. I was lost as a ball in high weeds. I never forget. I remember Mom and Dad started going to church, and I was under such deep conviction sitting in a deer stand. I said, God, if you're really real, I said, you please let a deer walk out and let me shoot it. Now, that may seem funny, but I'm telling you something. It wasn't just a little bit after that. There's a big doe walked out in his doe days, and I got to shoot that deer. And I'm telling you something. I've never forgot that all the days of my life. I believe God just let that happen to say, son, I am real. And I began to get under Holy Ghost conviction. I was miserable about these things. And June the 24th, 1992, when God saved my soul, I've never been the same. I hated church. I'd sit on the back pew back there. I'd cuss the preacher. I've got up, walked out mad. I mean, had to hitchhike the house, ride home with somebody else. I'm telling you something, mean as a stinking devil. But I'm telling you something, when God got a hold of my heart, I didn't much believe in God. Didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm telling you something, God changed my life that night. I've never been the same since. You can tell me all you want to. It's not real. I know it's real. Amen. It does not matter what anybody says. If God puts it in there, there ain't nobody else can take it out. There ain't enough mossy back deacons and daddy rabbit daddies, amen, that take it out of your heart when God puts it in your heart and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt. But you did business with God and called old time salvation. And I'm telling you something, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. It is the power of God and the salvation. I'm afraid we're losing that identity. I'm not ashamed. Amen. Are you ashamed to be an old time Christian? You ashamed tonight to raise your hand and praise God and worship Him and sing around the songs of Zion? I mean, who in their right mind would go to church on a Friday night when you could be at a ball game or down to the mall spending your money? They'll come to the house of God, listen to know that 34-year-old preacher from Hendersonville, North Carolina, get up here and preach to you the precious Word of God. Who in their right mind would do that? Amen? Only those that are saved by His power divine. God does make a difference. Amen. But I tell you, that which the Father gave Him, I want you to get this. He took His journey to a far country and there wasted His substance with riotous living. And when He had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land. And He went and joined Himself to a citizen of that country and He sent Him into His fields to feed the swine. But do you realize that what the Father gave Him, Brother Barry, could have sustained Him the rest of His life? You see, a lot of people think if they go to the fire country down there where it looks really good, that they'll have it made. That's how the devil works with his deceptive tools. He has the beautiful women on the billboards and alcohol and liquor and stuff. It don't show the other side. When people's been killed and people's been murdered and little children don't have a mama, don't have a daddy. And I tell you, don't show those sides of those things like that. He don't show those things when you go to the far country that you'll spend all to keep you longer than you ever want to stay. Cost you more than you're ever willing to pay. Amen. And I'm telling you something, that God help us to lose. Don't lose our identity with the things of God. Got a young man in church right now, his wife has left him. And I'm telling you something right now, got out and seen, doesn't take very long. Take the Christian bumper stickers off the cars. You know why? So you don't want to be identified with the fact that there's a Christian around. Amen? And I'm telling you something tonight, they're stolen identity. We've let the devil rob us of our identity. Stolen identity. That which the Father gave him, his living, could have sustained him. I believe what the Father gave him, he could have nurtured it. And in years to come, a wife and a family, and given it to his sons and carried it on if he had nurtured it. Now understand what I'm saying. It could have sustained him. He fell in the far country, but it could have been sustained if he had nurtured what the Father gave him. I'm afraid many times we forget that what God has given us is able to sustain us and take care of us. Amen. Amen. Has anybody ever been through a trial before and didn't think he was going to make it?
Are you still here tonight? Are you still plugging along tonight? You may not be kicking as high as you used to, but thank God you're still a kicking. Amen? Amen. God, I said God has given us what it takes to sustain us from here to glory. Amen. Amen. Will God let you go through some things sometimes? Well, some things you don't understand. Some things you just don't know what to do with. But I promise you, God has given us something that will sustain us. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes it seems like every time you turn to something catastrophic happening. And I'm telling you something, but God, His grace. You know, I hear people all the time, oh God, I pray Your grace will be sufficient. Now, my Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that it is. That it is. I'm glad God's not so little I have to go around praying that His grace will be sufficient. Amen. I'm glad tonight that it is sufficient. Amen. But what about this preacher? It's sufficient. Amen. It is sufficient. Amen. God's grace is sufficient. God will let you go through hard places in your life. That way He can make a plateau that He can reveal Himself to you and show you that He is God. What God has given us will sustain us. Say, preacher, you ever felt like quitting? Do you want an honest answer? Or a hypocritical, keep up the smile answer? Oh, yes, you feel like quitting. But I tell you something right now, there's something inside of you that won't quit. Amen. Sometimes you just feel like a rag doll being dragged around. Oh, yes, God, just grace. It's just grace. Amen. 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 You come to church and the old grace of God will prop your head up. Amen. How all of a sudden you see it and the grace of God throws your arm up. Amen. Amen. All of a sudden you know it. The grace of God, you're shouting with joy. Thank God has given us what it takes to sustain us. He'll get to glory. The reason the Father's living didn't sustain Him in a far country is because He went to the far country. You know, I've noticed this about some people say, boy, God ain't fair and this is happening in my life. Why is God doing this? If you come to find out, they've had their eyes turned towards the far country. And they're losing their sustenance. They're wasting it with righteous living. Living that is morally unrestrained. Verse number 14, the Bible said, and when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine. He spent all. He wasted that which identified him with the Father. You see, and he's at the Father's house. He had nothing. The Father gave him his living. He had something. But when he went to the far country, I'm sure as he walked down the street, he says, there goes that boy that's got that rich father. He's loaded with money. He's got everything. He's got a smile on his face. He's just hunky-dory. And there he goes. There he goes. There goes that prodigal son. You know, his father was known for his wealth. The Bible said, when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And what I'm saying is that when he went to that far country, everything that identified his wealth, his blessings was what identified him with the Father's house. But when he went to the far country, he lost everything that identified him with the Father's house. A little bit here, a little bit there, let up here and let up there. And before he knew it, he had spent all. Everything the Father put in him when he had saved him, if you could say that, and God had did something in his life, everything that he had, he had spent it all. There was a mighty famine in the land. It was gone. He was now identified with the far country. He had nothing. He had his identity stolen. I want to look at a few more things here. The Bible says here, he began to be in want. Look at the time in the scripture. When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. If you study that word want there today, one of the meanings of it there in this Strong's Corners here says to be left behind in a race. He began to be in want. He said, I've been left behind. I left to be up front. I left to be prosperous. I went to the far country so that I could be first. But now he began to be unwanted and realized all his buddies had left him. He didn't have no money no more. He was left behind. He began to be unwanted. And the Bible says, and he began to be unwanted, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He left really a free man. But when he got to the far country, wasted his substance with the right... I just feel the Holy Ghost. He wasted his substance with righteous living. You know what he ended up being? A slave in slavery. Amen. God help us to realize as the church of the living God that we have an identity. It's not our identity, but it's His identity. It's not necessarily our name that we're hurting. It's His name that we're hurting. It's His name just been dragging through the mud. Amen. I still believe in church discipline. People going to live in the mud. We just going to practice Matthew 18. We're going to let them live in the mud if they won't repent and get right. Amen. Amen. Not going to drag the Savior's name through the mud. And I tell you in these scriptures, there's some interesting things here. Amen. That which he had been given could have sustained him. Amen. And I thought about these different things. Verse number 17, I want you to look at this scripture. Verse 16, and when he would fain and fill his belly with husk that the swine had eat, no man gave unto him. He found himself, nobody would give him anything. Let me tell you something, you go to that world, the church, if we go to the world, I'm telling you something, we get down there, I'm telling you, there ain't nobody going to care one little old bit about the church of the living God. There's no people like God's people. I love God's people, and I don't mean this in any mean way, if not more than my own flesh and blood family, not my family, but my relatives. You say, that's crazy. I'm telling you something, you get saved by the grace of God, that blood relationship is closer than the natural relationship. I'm telling you something, some things happen in your life and you see those things. Thought about last week, my dad, he broke his leg, a tree, we was cutting a tree and it kicked back and broke his leg, compound fracture, and I thought about that. And he's sitting there in the house, and he called me the other night and I said, Daddy, I said, maybe God just wanted to reveal Himself to you. And he said, son, he said, I never realized that people loved me so. I never realized how good a church was and how good God's people was. Did they come bombarding you being around you, man? You say, preacher, what are you saying? Down there no hog pots of sin. The hog lots of sin. They won't be no man to come down there and visit you. Amen. They ain't going to be no man come down there and love you. But I'm glad, thank God, at the house of God. Amen. You know you're passing death unto life because you love the brethren. Amen. I'm telling you something, you need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. If God says you better call somebody, you better call them. They may be going through something you never dreamed they'd go through. Amen. I'm telling you something, it's nothing like the people of God. Amen. You say, are they perfect? I didn't say that. I just said they ain't nothing like the people of God. Amen. Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Do you know the only thing that he desired in the scripture? How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Do you know what he desired in the far country? It wasn't the father's living. It was just bread from the father's house. Amen, amen. I'm going to be truthful with you about something right here. I'm afraid we've lived in a day and hour where we've wasted the Father's substance with riotous living. People still know about the bread from the Father's house. There's still some people that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and know what it's like to eat on heavenly manna. Brother, they're longing for that bread from the Father's house. But I'm afraid a lot of them is trying to do everything else to replace the genuine bread of the Word of God and the things of God. I'm not belittling any avenue to reach souls, but I'm telling you, I've never seen a day and hour. Men is not known by the power or God on their lives. They're known by how many ministries they have tagged on to their names. Now don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. You see what that is? That's a cover up for the lack of the power of God. He was laboring for that which satisfies not. He desired only bread from the Father's house. He was laboring for that which satisfied not. Thank you, Lord. Verse 18 and 19, he only wanted to be identified as a servant. Look at that. The Bible said, I will rise and go to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, I believe God still do some great and mighty things. But it's going to be, let me tell you something. There's one thing about this scripture here that has been very profound to me in the last few years of my Christian life. Is that you find now the one and 100 sheep, he went after them to find them till he found it. Then the 1 and 10 coins, she went after the coin till she found it. But if you notice in this prodigal son here, the father never goes to get the prodigal son. Say, preacher, why is that? I believe that the church will return at her own accord. Amen. God is never going to force us to return to where we can have the Father's blessings. What will cause us to return is the lack thereof, His blessings. Amen. He did not want to be identified as a son anymore. He said, if I can just get back and be identified as a servant, that'll be good enough for me. And I like our Bible, amen. Verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, you know what the son was saying there? He said, Father, I'm not worth your identity. Now listen to me right here. Sometimes our problem is thinking we deserve what we don't deserve. He said, Father, I don't deserve to be identified with you. If you'll just make me one of your servants, I believe that's the attitude you and I should have. Amen. God, we don't deserve to be identified to you. We don't deserve to be called a child of God. But Lord, would you please just let us be a servant. But look at verse number 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what he was doing? The father was not afraid to be identified with his son. Amen. You know what he was doing? He was re-identifying. Amen. He was re-identifying the son. He said, this is my son that was dead, but is alive again. Amen. And he wanted to be identified with him. He's not thrust him out. He's not gave up on it, but he desires to be identified with us again. Amen. You say they have to go dig that stuff out? No, I believe he had it sitting there waiting on him. Amen. Amen. You know what he's wanting? He said, my boy's been down there in the far country. He's been representing me in the wrong way. He's lost my identity. He said, if he'll ever come back, I'll restore him. I'll make him a son again. I'll give him his identity back again. He come up through there and you can see those old ragged clothes and been working in the hog pens and what it smelled like and everything. And I'm telling you something, it's a little amazing what a robe and a pair of shoes and a ring can do to a man. Amen. 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 Yes, the identity seems to be stolen. I'm glad, thank God, God wants to restore that identity back to His people, that we are God's people. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not. Not ashamed to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, I'm very, very thankful
I'm very, very glad for what God has done in my life and saving my soul. And thank Him for letting me even be a part of the greatest work on the face of planet Earth.
Amen.
Amen. This prodigal son's lack was the loss of his identity with the Father. What he was lacking was his identity. Amen. You say, preacher, why is that? Because his father was known as a father of plenty. In my father's house there's bread and no spare, and I perish with hunger. He was known as a father of plenty. His lack was due to his loss of identity. Think about what I'm saying. If there's anything God blesses, it is holiness. And with the lack of identity of holiness, we will have a lack and a loss in our lives. You see, that prodigal son, he is the reason he lost out. And he lost the identity. He lost the bread. He lost the blessings because he went to a far country. But I'm glad, thank God, the Father. I'm glad he didn't go to the far country with the son. I've seen a lot of them do that. But that little boy and that girl go to sin. Instead of standing up against it, they go down there and defend them. And they go to the far country with them. He didn't get bitter at him, but he stayed at the house. I was preaching this message the other day. The Lord just showed me that. Y'all probably already know that. But I'm telling you something. You know why the father had to stay at the house? Somebody had to stay there to fatten the calf for when the son come home. Amen, amen. That's right. That calf wouldn't have been too fat if he'd went to the far country and left him in the stall without him. Amen. But thank God every day he went down there and threw him another cup of grain or let him out to graze. He said, my boy's coming home. I'm going to keep that calf fat. Amen. The reason he didn't go to the far country, the reason he stayed at the house was because he wanted to keep the calf fat for when the boy did come home. I don't know what the Lord may have dealt with you about tonight. I don't know what He may have spoke to your heart about. It may be about a prodigal son. It may be about your personal life. It may be something only pertaining to the message. That's just the way God works. But I do believe with all my heart, God has let me preach what He's put on my heart tonight. I know the message slowed down where you could just listen to me tonight. But I want you to know, church, don't ever bow your head. And don't ever go into the closet. The day and hour we live in, they're trying to push us in the closet. They're trying to put us in there. But I'm telling you right now, do not be afraid to be identified as a child of God. Don't you know, people want to look like Barbie. I never understand why a woman wants to look like Barbie. Barbie ain't even real. I hate to astonish you, but she ain't even real. Why they want to do that and be identified with that? And this is my personal opinion, and I'm entitled to it. But it dumbfounds me when you go to church and you see people dress like Hollywood.
Right.
Look like the world, but yet they say they're going to heaven.
Right.
And they're identified with that, but say they're spelled like that prodigal son. Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you something tonight.
Amen.
God help us.
Yeah.
Not to surrender, not to forfeit our identity to this wicked and depraved world.
Amen.
That desires nothing more than to destroy old time religion and destroy what you're sitting in tonight. Somebody better stand up. You may have been waiting to balance. You've been weighing that thing out. You've been teetering, selling out, surrendering to God, doing what God have you to do. You've been looking to the far country. You've been looking at serving God, staying with the Father. You maybe tonight you need to make that decision that you're going to stay in there. You're going to serve God, lock, stock, and barrel. God, whatever you want for my life, that's what I desire. Let no man despise thy youth. Do what God would have you to do. Been 16 years now since God saved me. Never been the same. Never been the same. I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. And I don't say that arrogantly. God knows my heart. We was leaving camping. We went camping this past week. Took a week off. And I was there dumping the little thingamajig on a camper. And a man walked up to me and everything. I mean, before I know it, I mean, the first words out of your mouth is, I'm pastor for such an annual vacation. And really? And he said, I go to church up here. I'm saved. And praise God, the fellowship broke out. And he said, brother, if I don't ever see you again, he said, I promise you, I'll see you over there. Amen. I said, preacher, what? You ought not be ashamed of what God's done in your heart. Amen.
I remember God saved me. I went back to work. I thought this house was a rejoicing shout of the fact that I'd gotten saved by the grace of God. But I'm telling you something. Don't ever surrender what God done for you when He washed you in His precious, precious blood. Stolen identity. The devil, the flesh, and the world is slowly stealing our identity.